Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Bummer for the United States men's national soccer team. But hey, we made it out of group stages, right? So don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. Shout out to those guys putting in a lot of work. And the youngest team in the World Cup made it out of group stages. So you'd think the future is bright for the United States men's national team. And let's also just call a spade a spade. Football and football, not the same, right? So let's look at the football side of things, the American football side of things. Washington at the Giants tomorrow. And here's the crazy part, right? As sports or as a season goes along for a team like Washington, I mean, roller coaster is an understatement, right? I mean, we've all been there following Washington where they start off kind of shaky, you lose faith, and then they storm back. It's the Ron Rivera way of doing things. It's just accepted at this point. And we're in the middle of the storm back right now. But also individually, right? You look at players, the names that captivate the season. So I want to ask, are we past the point of worrying about Taylor Heinicke? It went from Taylor Heinicke is a spot start fill-in to Taylor Heinicke should be the starter to Taylor Heinicke needs to eliminate the crazy turnovers, play safer, not take so many chances. To now, like this whole week, I haven't even really heard much about him. I haven't even really, like the debates that have raged for 2 months, Heinicke Wentz, Heinicke Howell, Heinicke needs to not do this, Heinicke needs to not do that. It's been quiet this entire week. So I ask you and I open up the phone lines, 1-800-636-1067. That's 1-800-636-1067. Are we past the point of worrying about Heinicke? Which would be a huge compliment, right? That's tomorrow, gigantic game. Massive game. Huge game. Any other adjective for very, very important you can use game. Washington is playing a gigantic game over the weekend, tomorrow, against the Giants, who are half a game ahead of them in the playoff standings, and they play the Giants their next two games. They go Giants by Giants. So going into this game, it's natural for those in the facility, for those outside the facility, right? For coaches, for players, for front office executives, trainers, as well as fans and media personalities and everybody on the outside to be a little concerned. Right? I mean, it's no different than going into the biggest presentation at your job, right? You could prepare for weeks. You could prepare for months. Heck, I don't. Maybe you prepare for years. I don't know what industry you're in. Maybe it's something you've been working towards your whole career, and you know you are prepared, but you go the night before, day before, right? Okay, well, that fourth PowerPoint slide I'm not as confident in, or what if they ask me about this I'm not as confident in. So there's going to be concerns. Matter of fact, there should be concerns. If you're not concerned, it's unhealthy, right? Where on the list does Heinicke fall? Are you still worried about Heinicke, or does he get the pass, the gold star, the graduation, the level up to no longer being that biggest concern? Right? You go back a month, and I know I'm doing a lot of kind of time travel here, but just stick with me. You go back a month, and it was, well, I love the wide receivers. I love Terry, Curtis Samuel, Jahan Dotson, when healthy, right? I think if you go back a month, he would have been out with the hammy. But Diami Brown, right? Logan Thomas is coming back. Antonio Gibson out of the backfield. If you go back a month, you love the receivers. The offensive line starting to play better. The defense, you love that defensive front. Kendall Fuller making plays. Jamin Davis starting to show some of that potential you hoped he would show as a first-round pick. But at the time, it was like, but all of that doesn't matter if Taylor Heinicke can't put it together. All of that doesn't matter if in the biggest moment Taylor Heinicke throws an interception or if Taylor Heinicke can't bail himself out. That was the conversation, but I'm not hearing that anymore. So does he level up? Has he graduated from that part of the game? And if so, man, that is big. Right? If so, man, that is important. The other side of it, right? Because we're going to talk about Heinicke a lot because, you know, there's a big game tomorrow. And the quarterback is the most important position in sports. We're going to talk about Heinicke. But let me ask you the flip side of the coin, right? And by the way, the phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. I hope to hear from many of you over the next few hours here. 1-800-636-1067. Since we've had the newer, safer Taylor Heinicke, which is what we asked him to do, okay? It's what Coach Rivera asked him to do. It's what we asked him to do. I'm sure it's what the defense was asking him to do for sure. Since we've had the newer, safer Taylor Heinicke, matter of fact, Ron Rivera called him a game manager again this weekend, or this week, sorry. Use the term game manager, which you can pretend is not an insult, but it's an insult. Like, no one's ever called Patrick Mahomes a game manager, Josh Allen a game manager, Lamar Jackson a game manager. Those guys just aren't called game managers. So don't say it and then go, well, no, that's what I want him to do. That's a compliment. But since we've had the newer, safer game manager, Taylor Heinicke, which I would say the last 3 weeks, I know he's thrown probably two or three interceptions that wouldn't lead to that, but you're never gonna get zero interceptions from even the game managerist of the game managers. Since we've had the newer, safer Taylor Heinicke, and the team has been doing plenty enough around him, do you have any concern that he can flip the switch to go back to the make magic happen at the end of a game Taylor Heinicke? I want to see if he can turn on the magic that has been coached out of him so aggressively as of late. It's one of the hardest things a coach can do is make a player work within their system while also keeping what makes them special. Right? We it's actually traditionally more of a running quarterback conversation. Okay, and if you know me, and hopefully you're getting to know me, the more and more I jump on 106.7 The Fan hosting overtime, you'll know I can nerd out about quarterbacks. So it's traditionally more of a running quarterback conversation. We're seeing it happen in real time with Josh Allen. We see it happen every single Sunday with Lamar Jackson. How do you take advantage of what they bring to the table that no one else brings to the table while also coaching that recklessness and that willingness to take hits out of them? If you watched Thursday Night Football, you saw Josh Allen trying to hurdle defenders. And I know for a fact, Ken Dorsey, their offensive coordinator up there in Buffalo, Sean McDermott, their head coach up there in Buffalo, is watching him going, what are you doing? But at the same time, the willingness to hurdle defenders is part of what makes Josh Allen special. So Taylor Heinicke, he might not be 6'5", 240, likes to run people over and jump over people like Josh Allen, but he does have this, you know, I've been calling it Heinicke magic. That's probably the most positive way to describe it. You could call it Heinicke recklessness. You could call it Heinicke playing with reckless abandon or some kind of over-the-top craziness. But that is part of the reason why he's endeared himself to the fans. Part of the reason why he has managed to keep a grasp on this tiny little ledge of a career is because that magic has worked out enough times. So I'm looking forward to, I don't want it to happen, but I know it will happen someday, if not tomorrow against the Giants, maybe the next game against the Giants, maybe against the Cowboys, maybe down the line even further. I don't want it to happen. But if it does happen, I want to see what Taylor Heinicke brings to the table when they're down 10 late in a game. Fourth quarter, down 10, what does he do? Is he taking Charlie checkdowns like we saw from Mac Jones on Thursday where they got down by a bunch and then suddenly he's just dumping it off to the running back for 4 yards a pop? It's good for your completion percentage, not really good for a potential comeback. or does Taylor Heinicke still have, you know, that Ferrari in the garage, that Lamborghini in the garage that he can break out and go 0 to 100 in 2.4 seconds? Maybe it'll crash. We've seen that. But maybe it'll just go 100 miles an hour and be really, really fun. The Heinicke conversations have changed. They've gone quiet. They've maneuvered. Is he the concern? Is he no longer the concern? Which would be a huge compliment if you're more worried about other guys on the team, other positions than he is. And at the same time, does he still keep that part that made him special, or has that been completely coached out of him and now he's some kind of robot game manager? Only time will tell, but maybe Charlie in College Park can help us out. I want to hear from all of you on the call-in line. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. That's 1-800-636-1067. Feel free to call in. Charlie in College Park has some quarterback comments. Charlie, thanks for calling in. What do you have for us?
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yep, I got you fine.
Hello?
What are your quarterback comments?
Now, he will always be the X factor for me. Just a little bit of background. For what it's worth, I played this game up through the semi-pro level. Been watching pro football since 1958. I played it all my young life up until I was 36. I think I know football, at least somewhat. Games are won and lost in the offensive-defensive lines. The offensive line pass blocking has gotten a lot better. That's what hurt Carson Wentz so much, and nobody says that much. But Taylor Heinicke makes the bonehead plays. Yes, he does manage the game well. He makes some good throws. He locks on receivers, McLaurin, and on the out patterns, he doesn't have the arm strength. Everybody knows that. He throws the ball that floats a little bit because he throws off his back foot. I'm not damning him, Danny. I'm not saying Wentz should be playing ahead of him. That's not what I mean at all. He's the best they have right now. But he's a threat. The last game, remember those two plays where he was in extreme pressure and he tried to throw those, quote, passes to avoid intentional grounding over? One was close to being a lateral. Those are game-breaking plays, potentially, especially if you're in the red zone. It kills you. And the interceptions, there's no guarantees he's going to throw interceptions, going to make those plays. But I think that possibility is always there. I think 80-20, he's okay. But the 20%... Okay. Against good teams, you got good teams coming up in critical situations, playoffs. You can't do that and win. Thanks.
I appreciate the call, Charlie, and that's kind of what I was looking for, right? That call right there from Charlie, and thank you very much for calling in. Everyone else, feel free as well, 1-800-636-1067. That call from Charlie right there sounded like the conversations we had about Taylor a month ago. Right, that sounded like the conversations we had about Taylor as he was taking over for Carson Wentz, and it seems like they had gone quiet. And obviously, there's always still going to be, you know, a grain of that around. But also, when you're winning games and you're, you know, when the big knock on you is you make the big clutch mistake, which is I believe what Charlie was getting at there, right? 80-20 good, but that 20% can kill you. If that's the big knock on you and you're winning games consistently, at what point is it like, well, you're not making the big mistake, so it'll fall off of your reputation? Now, maybe, you know, six games isn't enough for it to fall off of his reputation for Charlie, but for some of you, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. This is 106.7 Overtime on 106.7 The Fan, I should say. I'm Tim Donnelly, and coming up, let's just look at the teams. We looked at the quarterback because that's where everything starts, but how does Washington, the Commanders as a team, beat the New York Football Giants tomorrow? I have an outside-the-box option that I want to throw your way. That's coming up next. Welcome back into Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. I'm Tim Donnelly, and I want to hear from you. 1-800-636-1067. I asked a whole bunch of questions during the last segment about the quarterback in Washington. First of all, I just want to say how nice it is and how clean-cut it is to just say the quarterback in Washington and not have to answer who, right? You say the quarterback in Washington, everyone's talking Heinicke. I asked a whole bunch of questions about him. Does he still have the magic of the chaos, or have they coached him into a game manager robot over the last month? Is he the least of your concerns, or is he no longer the major concern, which to me would be a huge feather in his cap if he were able to work his way out of the biggest concern category. To answer some of those questions, E in Fredericksburg has called in. You can call in as well, 1-800-636-1067. E, thanks for calling in. What are your quarterback comments?
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I listen to you guys every day, and you guys are amazing, and I appreciate what you do. And
thank
regard
you very much.
To your
I'll be
question,
sure to pass along.
Yes, sir. In regard to your question concerning Heinicke, I've been a Washington fan all my life. I go all the way back to a fellow named Sonny Jurgensen, number nine. And I remember when he started to digress, a fellow named Billy Kilmer was taking his place. When Kilmer threw the ball, you had no idea where it was going to go or who it would go to. It looked like a duck that had been shot out of the air. But he had heart. And when he came in, he motivated that team with his heart. That's what Heinicke does. You cannot measure the heart of an athlete. And that's what he gives the team. He's going to throw interceptions. He's going to screw up, excuse my language. But he has heart, and you cannot measure that. That's where he's at. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, E. And again, like... that's Ian Fredericksburg. You can call in as well, 1-800-636-1067. Those things I don't think have ever been questioned about Heinicke, right? He is a guy that cares about it. Guys rally around him. It's one of the more fun things to talk about when talking about Heinicke is that kind of element of him and his personality. But I also think, you know, heart, there needs to be a baseline of play for heart to matter like that, right? As you heard the caller just say, right? Sure, he's going to throw an interception from time to time. That might be okay if the heart is overcoming it, right? But on the other side, if it's, sure, he's going to throw three interceptions from time to time, I don't care how much heart you have. Right? So he does have to coach some element of his game into being a bit safer. And I believe they've done that. I just hope they didn't take away what makes him special as far as the improvisation and the you know, finding a way on third and long on a game-winning two-minute drill. Those things that he's done in the past, I want to make sure we're not missing out on that also. I also want to look at this game from the wide-angle lens. Right? We'll dive back into Heinicke. I'll talk quarterbacks till I'm blue in the face. But I also want to dive into the minutia a little bit here, right? Washington at the Giants is a gigantic game for that franchise. It's a gigantic game for that coaching staff. It's a gigantic game for so many reasons. And how does Washington pull off the victory? That's the real question, right? Sure, we can ask, how do you get Terry McLaurin the ball more? Sure, we can ask, how do you get that defensive line going, especially if Chase Young plays? We can ask all of those questions. But the real question is, how does Washington beat the Giants? And I have an outside-the-box answer, and it's very simple. Rope-a-dope. Right, where are my boxing fans at? We just had a caller say he's been paying attention to the Washington franchise since Sonny Jurgensen. How about we go back to Ali Foreman? Rope-a-dope. The NFL version of the rope-a-dope, I believe, can help Washington beat the Giants. Now, it probably won't help them beat the Giants the next game when they play him after the bye week, but hey, one game at a time, right? I think the Giants will punch themselves out of the game. I think they can tire themselves out if you just open your arms and say, go for it. If you just let them do it. Darius Slayton, Richie James, those are the go-to receivers for the Giants right now. Even though Daniel Jones is playing better, Darius Slayton is a big play threat. He's a nice player. Richie James is a nice young player, but remember, this season started, they have a high-priced Kenny Golladay, who's looking like one of the worst free agent signings in a long time. They had Kadarius Toney, Wandale Robinson. They had all of these players, and they're all out for or gone for a variety of reasons. So the conventional wisdom is to do the thing that Bill Belichick gets all the credit for in New England, right? The conventional wisdom is to say, take away what they do best, which is obviously Saquon Barkley. The conventional wisdom would say, load the box, stop Saquon, make Daniel Jones, Darius Slayton, and Richie James beat you in the air. I say go the opposite. just like Ali did against Foreman, right? Just like Ali did against Foreman. Do go against what everyone says you think they should do. I want Washington to almost personally guarantee that Saquon Barkley gets 20 carries in the first half. Right? Safeties, guard up on Slayton and James, guard up on the tight ends, maybe even go with a light box, meaning a light front seven, right? Light run coverage. Get Saquon 20 carries in the first half, which may come with his success, right? I'm not knocking Saquon. That's a good player right there. But get him 20 carries in the first half and then just outlast him, right? Use your running game to tire out their defense. That's where Brian Robinson, Antonio Gibson come into play. Offensive line is playing much better than it was a month ago. Use your running game and make sure they're using Saquon. Invite them to use Saquon, just like you invite a giant puncher in the boxing ring to throw a ton of blows over the first three rounds, knowing that they don't have the stamina to last. If you look at what's happened to the New York Giants over the last 3 weeks, And if you've been able to catch my segments, my hosting here on 106.7 The Fan, I've illustrated it from the very moment it happened. 3 weeks ago, the Giants gave Saquon Barkley the ball 35 times. That's more than Derrick Henry ever got in a non-overtime game. He had 35 carries in a single game. The two games since then, he's been a shell of his former self. They will overwork their running back without regard for the future, without regard for the rest of the game. If Washington can make the Giants go on a 12-play drive with eight touches by Saquon Barkley, even if it ends with a field goal, heck, maybe, even if it ends in a touchdown, as long as you can match the touchdown, I'm kind of walking that back as it happens. But if you get eight carries from Saquon on one drive in the first quarter, I love it, because then in the second half they're going to have nothing left. Right, because Saquon's going to be exhausted, just like every running back would be if you're nearing 35 carries. And they won't be able to just keep giving it to him because he's exhausted. And I don't even think the Giants are ridiculous enough to give him 40 carries in a game. So invite it, right? Just like Ali invited Foreman to throw haymaker after haymaker, knowing, hey, once we get to the later rounds here, I'm going to be the one that's still going. Invite it. Go against the Belichick wisdom of take away what they do best and instead say, make them do what they do best too much early on so they can't do it later on. It's less catchy. It's less catchy, but we'll get with branding and marketing and we'll make it into something, right? We'll get that slogan boiled down a little bit. Use your running game and invite them to tire out Saquon Barkley. I'm not sure the Giants have much else if Saquon is eliminated from the game. And I think you can do that with pure exhaustion. And then obviously you're going to need a big game from your front seven. Jamin Davis is going to have to be running sideline to sideline. And when you have an opportunity to tackle Saquon, you have to do it. But I think that's an unusual way you can win. And then they'll have to pivot. And we talk about the Washington schedule. For those of you that aren't looking ahead, they play the Giants tomorrow, bye week, Giants again. So if you do something really unusual in the first game, they will have to prepare for that in the second game, and you can do whatever you want, and it's a surprise, right? You set them up to fail in the future. That's what it's all about. This is Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. I'm Tim Donnelly. I want to hear from you. How do you think? What do you think are the keys for Washington to beat the Giants this weekend? 1-800-636-1067 is the call-in number. That's 1-800-636-1067. Either way, no matter what you say is the key, I think we know that John Allen, Daron Payne, and Montez Sweat need to show up to play. Let's talk about the three big guys up front coming up next. Hopefully everyone's having a wonderful Saturday. I'm Tim Donnelly. This is Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. If you are a fan of chaos, right, we're getting ready to talk about the big guys on the defense, Allen, Payne, and Sweat for the Commanders, and their future and their production. And I mean, I don't know if there's a more fascinating position group in all of the NFL than the defensive line for the Washington Commanders. And their goal, their job, right? What does a defensive lineman do is create chaos. I like to say I'm a fan of chaos. I like to say, you know, if I don't have a horse in the race, so to speak, I'm just rooting for something interesting to happen. TCU taking on Kansas State right now in the Big 12 Championship. TCU just got on the board with a touchdown. They struck first, 5 minutes to go in the first half. Or, sorry, first quarter. But I'd be lying if I wasn't thinking how crazy it would be if Kansas State beat TCU after seeing Utah beat USC last night. I want to make those college football playoff committee deciders really sweat and really have to make some decisions. Obviously, if TCU wins, they're in. But if Kansas State can pull off the unprecedented, we could be in for something wild. So we'll keep you updated there, and just know I don't have a horse in the race. I'm not a TCU Horned Frogs fan. Definitely not a Kansas State Wildcats fan. So I'm just rooting for chaos over here. And I'm sure there's at least a couple of you that are in the same boat. Just want to see, you know, college football playoff system go wild. It is overtime on 106.7 The Fan. The phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. The Commanders' window for their defense to be great is right now. And they should not take that for granted, right? They already paid John Allen, but if you look at all those first-round defensive linemen that are so beloved but are also becoming more productive, it's a general manager or a football decision-maker, right? For some teams, it's the president of football operations. For some teams, it's general manager. For some teams, it's the head coach. Whoever the decision-maker is that's putting the roster together, it is a first world problem, right? It is a caviar problem, a champagne problem for what they have going on in their defensive line. Montez Sweat, 7 sacks, 11 tackles for a loss. Bananas. John Allen, 6.5 sacks, 14 tackles for a loss. Bananas. Daron Payne, 6.5 sacks, 13 tackles for a loss. Also, bananas. Chase Young, hopefully coming back soon. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show, but he's the most physically gifted of the four. So you have these four guys up there that three of them are producing at a high level right now. And the way you deal with this problem, right? And it is a problem because all of these guys, all three of them, all four of them that I mentioned, if they were to hit the open market, if they were to become available by trade, would draw a massive price, right? Look at what guys like Nick Chubb, I mean, really any of the near to elite defensive linemen in the NFL bring in. They are an extremely valuable commodity. Contenders can always use another. Rebuilding teams always want to build around the trenches. Like, these guys are extremely valuable. So the problem with that is, I don't know if you want to take so much of your salary cap and put it just on the front four, especially if you want to have depth at any other position. So eventually you're going to have to make a decision. Which of these guys do you keep around? Now, if you're a coach, you just don't think about it, right? That's a problem for future you. You just enjoy it while it's here. And that's what I'm talking about with the window. The window is right now. Don't take it for granted, because eventually one, two of these guys are going to be gone. If you're a GM, if you're the decision maker, president of football operations, head coach, whoever is carrying the most weight in that franchise, you almost need to constantly update your priority board. Okay, which one of these is our biggest priority? Which one of these is number one in our power rankings? John Allen's already signed, so I guess you could say he's number one. Is Payne next? Is Young next? Is Sweat next? Maybe it goes Allen, Young, Sweat, Pain, who knows? But you have to keep a running tally of that, because you do not want to be surprised when those decisions come through. And while the GM is dealing with that, right, the GM is deciding what the future of that defensive line looks like, the team has to take advantage of it right now. Go look at the Washington Commanders' schedule. As a matter of fact, I'll do it for you. These are the point totals allowed in their last, since this little winning turnaround happened, right? They were 1-4 through 5 weeks. They're now 7-5. Let's look at the last 7 games. They've allowed 7 points, 21 points, 16, 20, and a loss, 21, 10, and 13. That is an elite defense. Over the last 7 weeks, their defense has been great. through no small part for those exact reasons that I mentioned. Tackles for a loss and sacks from their three former first-round draft pick defensive linemen. And if you throw a healthy Chase Young, even if it is, even if you're throwing him in for 13, 15 plays per game, but they're the right 13 to 15 plays per game, right? They're the correct pass rushing plays. That defense is just going to get better this year. You better make some waves, right? You like there's nothing more frustrating than a wasted great defense. There's nothing, because an offense that knows we only have to score 21, 24 points per game to win an astronomically high percentage of our games, that's fish in a barrel, right? You can manufacture that. It's the game. It's the games where when you start, you don't know if you're going to have to score 35 or 15. I mean, that's you got to start off hot. You take chances. You never know. But if you can go into a game knowing, 21 wins it, which is essentially what the offense here knows. Well, goodness gracious, that opens up your whole playbook. It's the equivalent of second and short. I, as a former quarterback, I used to love second and two. I used to love second and one. Because, sure, you could run it up the middle, pick up 2 yards, get the first down. Great, love it. Move on. But you could also play action, take a deep shot. You could also run your quick passing game. You could also run your traditional drop back deep passing game. You could also run a screen, a trick play. Because you always know, as long as you don't take a sack or a tackle for a loss, you only need to get that 2 yards on the next play. So if you know your defense is playing great with Sweat, with Allen, with Payne, with Fuller, with Forrest, love Forrest at secondary. If you can know your defense is going to play well, guess what? In the first quarter, you could have a drive where you run it 12 times. You could go Robinson, 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 Gibson, Robinson, 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 Gibson. You could do it like you're beatboxing. Make a beat out of it. Robinson, Gibson, Robinson, Gibson. Or you could also go Terry McLaurin, Robinson. You can mix it up. You could go all pass because you know even if it doesn't work, guess what? Punt it away. We only need to score 21. Our defense is going to bail us out. And at some point in time, you're going to have to say goodbye to some of those, and it's not going to be that free-flowing everything available. It is a luxury to know your defense is going to play well. And there's nothing more frustrating than a defense playing well and an offense can't even give them their 24. Just ask the Denver Broncos. What is it? If the Denver Broncos scored 18 points every game, they'd be like 9-2, something crazy like that. Thanks, Russ. Justin Gaithersburg has some thoughts on the hierarchy of those four defensive linemen, the first rounders, as I call them, Sweat, Allen, Payne, and Young. So we'll go to him on the call-in line. The call-in line is open, by the way, 1-800-636-1067. That's 1-800-636-1067. Justin, thanks for calling in. What do you have?
Yeah, I was just calling to let everybody know that there's a couple things that need to happen, and the number one thing is that we need to keep paying. The dude is worth the money no matter what. And what you're saying is exactly right. We only have a certain time window where our defense is not going to get really, really, really expensive. So the Heineke thing and the Ron Rivera thing is kind of messing us up to begin with because they're giving us a false sense of that we're a really, really good team and we're not. We haven't beat anybody over 500 other than the Eagles. And if you think we can beat teams over 500 with 170 yards passing, a few turnovers, rushing the ball 3 yards per carry, and somehow winning by 11, it's not going to happen. We need to get rid of Heineke because he's not the answer. We need to get rid of Ron Rivera because he definitely is not the answer. And we need to make sure that the main part of the D stays for the next coach. And that next coach should be, and I've already called in and said this once, the defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers. The dude has not let up a point in the second half in 4 games. We need young minds in there. We need a young offensive coordinator. We need somebody that's under the Shanahan, you know, tree that knows what to do. He can get a young offensive mind in there himself because what we're doing is just making us mediocre, and it's going to continue to happen, and everybody's going to see it in the next couple weeks when we play like the Browns and stuff, because the Browns is a real defense, and now that they have Watson, it's going to be problems.
All right, I appreciate the call, Justin. Call back in anytime, and I appreciate you for giving it to us again since you mentioned you called in earlier. That number is 1-800-636-1067. That defensive coordinator for San Fran he was talking about is D'Amico Ryans. I mean, if Washington's willing to bring in a former Eagle, hey, who am I to stop him? But I will say this. Both Heinicke and or a rookie quarterback, if that's the way they go into the future, does allow you to keep that defense intact for a little bit longer because they're going to be cheap. Heinicke, even if you keep him around, he's not going to get, you know, quarterback money, and you know what I mean when I say quarterback money, a lot of it. And also a rookie contract would artificially keep that cap number down for a quarterback. So if you spend less at the quarterback position, it is more likely you can keep that defense together for a couple more years. Just make sure you front load those contracts and get that money off the books in time to pay the quarterback eventually. This is Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. You can call in as well, 1-800-636-1067. That's 1-800-636-1067. I want to talk about the impact on the division, right? Giants twice coming up. You still play the Cowboys. What does this game, Washington at the Giants tomorrow, do to those divisional standings and the mindset of the Commanders coming up next? What's going on? Overtime on 106.7 The Fan continuing. A lot of Commanders talk with such a big game tomorrow for the Commanders. They're taking on the Giants in a game that could, right? You never want to say wills or definites, could help the Commanders climb out of last place in the NFC East for the first time in months. But first, callers have some reaction to what we were discussing before the break, which is the handling of the defensive line as well as some of the future of the franchise, meaning how open the window is for that defense to play great. Patrick and Culpepper is on the line. You can call in as well, 1-800-636-1067. That's 1-800-636-1067. Patrick, thank you for calling in. What do you have for us?
Yeah, so what I wanted to say was with Taylor Heinicke, he's actually a pretty good quarterback. A lot of people call it magic. It's not magic. There's no magic. It's not Harry Potter. What he does, his ability to extend plays extends drives. His ability to avoid negative plays and avoid taking sacks, even throwing the ball away.
Okay, One second, Patrick. Let me ask you this. Was it skill when he just takes a knee and somehow a 14-year veteran hits him way after the whistle? Was there any magic there?
That's just being a heady player. I mean, that's you know, taking advantage right. of what
I'm just giving. I'm just giving you a hard time. Go ahead and go back to making your point.
So as far as his ability to extend out a play and scramble, that's an ability that's highly sought after. That's why Justin Fields and Lamar Jackson are doing so well. Justin Fields doesn't do a good job of picking apart defenses and throwing deep balls. So the ability to extend a play and get something rather than nothing is the reason that they're actually with Carson Wentz. And then the other thing is, I don't think Ron Rivera is the answer in this town. I've actually never been a Skins fan, but if they want to have success, they need to be hiring an offensive-minded head coach. It should be either Eric Bieniemy or more likely Byron Leftwich, because he's from D.C. I think that'd do a lot for bringing in more fans that have left over the years.
Thank you for the call, Patrick. I'm gonna address a few of those things. One, you are very, very correct about your evaluation with Taylor and his ability to extend plays. Now, the comparison, throwing Lamar Jackson and Justin Fields, he's not the type of gain ground runner that those guys are, right? He's more of a keep a play alive to throw it away, keep a play alive to pick up 4 or 5 yards, keep a play alive to make a completion. He's not a keep a play alive to go run 40 yards downfield and score a touchdown like those other two, which doesn't need to be said, but I want to make sure everybody knew we weren't suggesting that. But also, you know, we've had a couple callers today suggest that the offensive line is playing better with Heinicke than they did with Wentz, which is true. But also, a quarterback can make an offensive line look like they're playing better. If you get rid of the ball quickly, guess what? Your offensive line only has to block for 2 seconds rather than four, and you know, they might not be playing better, but it looks like they are. And then also, if you have some elusiveness, right? If you can escape, if you can keep plays alive, then what might have been a sack for a more stationary quarterback might not be a sack for a more elusive quarterback. One of the stats that I'm going to bring up later on in the show is Indianapolis, the Colts, actually lead the league in sacks allowed. Their quarterbacks have been sacked more than any other quarterback in the league. But, you know, one of their quarterbacks that's played a lot of snaps is Matt Ryan. That guy's an older quarterback who wasn't mobile early in his career. So maybe the offensive line is saying, hey, if we had Justin Fields, we wouldn't be in dead last. If we had Lamar Jackson, we wouldn't be in dead last. Or even if we had Taylor Heinicke, we wouldn't be in dead last. So he does impact the rest of the team. Quickly here, before we got to get moving, Mark in Reston has some comments on the conversations we've been having, specifically what another caller said. You can call in as well. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Mark, thank you for calling in. What do you have for us?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, man. Yeah, I have a bone to pick with that last caller before the commercial break. The guy was saying, we're playing better than we are. We're not actually a good team. We're only beating teams that are under 500 except the Eagles. I don't care who you beat in this league. Every NFL team is a tough opponent. If you told me we'd be 7-5 or 8-5, whatever we are by this point in the season, like before the season started, I'd be so happy to hear that. We are the hottest team in the league from a win-loss perspective in the past 6 weeks. 2 weeks ago, we beat the undefeated division rival. To say we need to fire Ron Rivera after this whole thing is a joke. He's not perfect. Of course not. Has he done better from a game script perspective than earlier in the season? Absolutely. If you want a better QB than Taylor, that's fine. His stats aren't great, but you know what stat is great for him? His wins and losses record. He's not a great thrower, but he's a great game manager. I had to call in because I cannot understand the loser mentality that a lot of our fans have. Just be happy that we're playing well and that we're in a playoff position right now.
And Mark, thank you for calling in. I want to add this to what Mark said. Like that win against Houston, which is obvious, like Houston's the worst team in the league. They're going to get the number one overall draft pick. But it's not like they squeaked by, right? They were 20-0 at half. That's a good win, even though it's against a bad team. Sometimes when you know, that defense is used a lot against programs, against teams. They haven't beaten anyone. They haven't beaten anyone with a winning record, or they haven't beaten anyone that's in the playoff picture. And a lot of times I look at it and go, well, how did they beat them? Are they beating bad teams like they're bad teams? Or are they eking them out? I think that Houston win could have been a little changing point there, right? Up 20-0 at half, coast to a victory, no stress. That's what a good team looks like against a bad team. Now, you would have liked to have seen them, you know, rough up Atlanta a little bit more and definitely going further back Indianapolis. But if you look like a good team, it doesn't really matter who's on the other side, as long as you look like a good team. Against a good team, if you look like a good team, you might beat them by a point. Against a bad team, if you look like a good team, you'll comfortably be ahead, no stress victories. As long as you're doing that, that's fine. I always want to use the eye test rather than just the numbers test. I want to keep hearing from you. 1-800-636-1067. Get those calls in on the Commanders. A gigantic game tomorrow. I can't emphasize the level of game against the Giants that they have tomorrow for divisional reasons, playoff reasons, and so many other reasons, including we might see Chase Young. I want to talk about Chase Young. I want to hear from you. Again, that number, 1-800-636-1067. More of Overtime on The Fan coming up next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.